Yet, I'll be reading from God's Word, the Bible, from Luke chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. So if you'd like to follow along with the words on the screen or on your devices, I'll give you a bit of time to find it. Luke chapter 2. Starting from verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I'm going to ask Sam to come up now.
Well, one night when I was lying in bed and I was trying to go to sleep, I looked up on the wall and there I saw it, a big, hairy spider. So I slowly got out of my bed, grabbed a shoe, and I went to hit the spider and I went bang, but I missed it. So the spider slid down the wall and ended up under my bed. And I'm thinking, oh, that is the worst thing that could have happened. Underneath my bed is now a big hairy spider. But the spider's thinking the same thing. Oh no, now above me is a big hairy human. So none of us got any sleep that night. There was no peace. And right now there doesn't seem to be much peace, because in our world we hear about wars, there's politics, and there's also inflation. And also in our own inner lives there might not be much peace. Maybe we're restless, we're tired, we're searching. And even worse, it's Christmas again. How's it Christmas already? 1 year has gone by, and no, we didn't clean out the study. 1 year has gone by, and no, we didn't have the neighbors over a barbecue. 1 year has gone by, and no, we did not exercise like we promised we would. 1 year has gone by. We're 1 year older, but we're not 1 year wiser. We're still the same person we are on the inside, restless, tired, and searching. So our question is this: well, how can we find the peace we're looking for? And we're going to try to answer this question by looking at the Christian tradition. And as you know, in the Christian tradition, once a year we celebrate Christmas. And Christmas says this, that 2,000 years ago, God sent us his son, Jesus, 100% God, but born as a baby into our world. But I guess, of course, we know in the Christian story, Jesus doesn't stay a baby. He grows up to be a man. Now, every year when I give talks about Jesus, I like to go through the internet and look for a photo of what I think Jesus would look like if he was here today. But earlier this year, I was giving a talk at a church, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Stop looking in the internet for photos of what you think Jesus would look like if he was here today." And I say, "Why?" Because he says to me, "Because he would have looked like me. A short, tanned, Middle Eastern male." So from now on, I'm using this picture to say, "Hey, this is what Jesus would look like if he was here today." But the Bible also hints that Jesus probably wasn't that good looking. So this guy's way too good looking to be Jesus. But as we know in the Christian story, Jesus grows up to be a man, does amazing things while he's on earth, heals people, raises a dead girl back to life, gives a man his sight back again when he was born blind. But more than that, he dies on a cross for us. More than that, he rises from the dead 3 days later. So our question now is this: well, how can Jesus give me the peace I'm looking for? How is Jesus the missing piece in the puzzle for peace? Well, today I'm going to suggest three things. This is going to come in the form of a 20-minute talk from me now. How can Jesus give me the peace I'm looking for? Let me suggest three things. Number one, the first thing I want to say is this. You know what? There is no peace. I'm sorry, but there is no peace. Now, this is my wife, Stephanie. This is a picture of our family. But because all Asians do look the same, this is my wife, Stephanie. Now, when we first started dating, it was so easy. We had so much in common. When you're dating, it's like, oh, you like coffee? I like coffee. Oh, you like watching movies? I like watching movies. You like pizza? I like pizza. You have so much in common. But then you get married and you realize you have nothing in common. We fight over everything. We fight over which way to hang the toilet roll. We fight over how to stack the dishwasher. We fight over how to hang a t-shirt. Should it be right way up, upside down, or folded over? We fight over these things. And we fight because there is no official rule book on how to do this. Like in cricket, they have an official rule book, but there is no official rule book on how to hang a toilet roll. Like, this is an objective transcendent marker. It's a ruler, but there is no objective standard for how to stack a dishwasher. And in football and in sports, we have umpires, but there is no umpire to tell you how to hang a t-shirt. But if there is no God in this universe, you know what? There is no umpire to tell us what to do. And that's why there's no peace. So when Russia invades Ukraine, who's right? Who's wrong? Russia says, we're right. But Ukraine says, no, we're right. Russia says, this is our land. Ukraine says, this is our land. If there is no God, there can be no peace. Because if there's no God, we're no different from the animals. And birds are always fighting. This is my chip. No, this is my chip. But there's no one to say who's right and who's wrong. But what if there is a God? What if when God sends us his son, Jesus, he's actually sending Jesus to be the umpire in our world so we can have peace? Because this is the promise of the Bible. Way back, many thousands of years ago in the Bible, when they prophesied that one day a Jesus would come, this is what they said about Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But why would he be the Prince of Peace? Because of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He'll set up a kingdom of peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. When God sends us his son, Jesus, he doesn't just send God in human form. He's sending the rule book for our life. He's the objective, absolute, transcendent marker so we know what is right and wrong. And he's the umpire who will settle disputes so there can be peace. Second thing I want to say is this. You know what? We ourselves need peace. There is no peace because we ourselves need peace. When I lived in the United States, we lived right next door to a fire department. This is the fire department. It was right next to the block of apartments that we lived in. But that meant every time someone burnt their toast and the alarm would go off, boom, the fire brigade would be there in seconds. And we all knew it was a joke. We all knew it was a false alarm. We all knew someone had just burnt the toast. But they loved to turn up in their full gear with their helmets and their mask and their hoses. It was all a bit of fun. And sure enough, one day the alarm goes off, boom, they're here within seconds, and we all joke about it. We, Steph and I, had set off the alarm, and they come storming into our living room. And because I played rugby with half the fire brigade, they all go, ah, Sam, look at you. What did you do? Burn your Chinese cooking, and we all have a laugh. And then they leave. But after they left, I said to Steph, hang on, have a look in the kitchen. There's a lot of soot on our ceiling. I think we really did have a fire. We had left the stove on with a saucepan and oil in it, and it had burnt itself out. I said, this was no false alarm. There really was a fire. See, we always think it's a false alarm, or we think the problem's with someone else, but we never think, hang on, maybe we are the problem. Maybe we do have a problem. But we always think the problem's out there. So we think, ah, oh, Putin's the problem, right? Not me. Or we think, ah, oh, the left is the problem, or the right is the problem. It's not me. The problem is out there with someone else. But what if we ourselves are the problem? This is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, famous Russian writer, Nobel winner in literature. He was once sent to the gulags, the concentration camps in Russia, and horrible stuff happens in these concentration camps. People die from starvation, from cold, from beatings. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, at that moment, it's so easy to see the guards as the bad guys, and we are the good guys. But Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in a famous line in his gulag diary, says this. The line separating, he realizes this, the line separating good and evil passes not between classes, not between political parties, but it passes right through each and every human heart. The problem is actually in here. Inside all of us is good, yes, but inside all of us is also evil. This world is the sum of its parts, but we are the parts that make up this world. This world is broken, yes, but maybe we are the broken ones. This world is full of chaos and strife, but maybe that's because we ourselves are filled with chaos and strife. So I think there's this moment where we all have to take stock take and look within and realize, you know what? Inside me is a problem. Inside me, there's shame, there's guilt, there's sin, there's pain, there's hurt, there's regret, there's brokenness. You know what? I am the problem. So maybe 2,000 years ago when God sends us his son Jesus to be the Prince of Peace, it's to realize Jesus has to do some work in each and every one of us as well. And this is what the Bible promises us. An angel appeared to Joseph and said this about Jesus. Mary will give birth to a son and you're to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The number one problem is what we have going on in here, and that's why Jesus comes to save us from our sins. And this is the Bible's promise that whatever we have inside of us, Jesus will wipe away. He will wash us so we're brand new. We can start again. In Jesus, there's healing, there's restoration, there's forgiveness, there's a brand new start. And that's why the third thing I want to say is this. Jesus is actually our peace. How can we find peace? Well, Jesus is our peace. And we just heard from the Bible reading from Grace, something promising that Jesus will be our peace. Now, it's that time of the year again, right? It's Christmas. And we all think, oh my gosh, it's December, but I still haven't bought any presents yet. What are you going to buy? See, as a married guy, every year I face this problem. What do I get Stephanie for Christmas? A few years ago, I got her this. It was a Dyson V11 vacuum cleaner. Top of the range. My friends rave about it. But my wife, oh, she hated it. I said, but it's a top of the range Dyson V11. How can you not like it, right? So hard to work out. So one year I got her Trader Joe's shopping bags. Not just one, not just two, but three Trader Joe's shopping bags. And she said, you know how I said just not to bother me buying me anything, you know, that would have been better than this. I thought, oh, ouch, right? Stabbed me with a heart. So 2 years ago, I thought, okay, I know what to get her. I got her a cast iron fry pan. Williams Sonoma. Oh, she hated it. She has not used it once. But last year, I got it. The winner present. It was a robot vacuum cleaner. Thank you. She didn't think she liked it, but after a few months of refusing to use it, she turned it on and, oh, she loves it. She loves it. See, she didn't know it's what she wanted, but she did. She didn't know it's what she needed, but she did. And she didn't know it's what completed her, but it completed her. See, I knew her better than she knew herself. Now, what is it for us? What is it that we need but we don't know? What is it that we want but we don't know? What is it that completes us? Because inside all of us is a vacuum. Inside all of us is an emptiness. That's why we're searching. That's why we're restless. That's why we're tired. And we try to fill this emptiness with maybe work. Maybe we try to fill this emptiness with stuff. Maybe we try to fill this emptiness with chasing success. But happiness experts like Arthur C. Brooks, who writes for The Atlantic, has a podcast, has published many books. Happiness experts will tell you, you know, this will not fill the hole. You'll end up being more tired, more stressed, and you'll be searching more and more. So what is it that we need? What is it that we're looking for? Well, what is it that a child needs? You know, child psychologists tell you every child basically only needs three things to thrive, flourish, and to survive. They need three things. They need to know they're loved, they need to know they're seen, and they need to know they're safe. They need to know they're loved, seen, and safe. And we keep this same need for the rest of our life. We've just finished watching the Netflix series on Beckham. And Beckham talks about this time where he and the whole Manchester United team were playing in front of 100,000 people for the European Championship League, and they won it. They would have won the triple. They would have won the triple that year. And David Beckham says, I know it's ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. Here I am, 23 years old, successful professional football player, but I'm only doing one thing. I'm looking in the crowd to see if I can see my dad. And he said every other teammate was doing the same. They were looking in the crowd to see if they could see their dad. And once they found their dad in the crowd, they were all right. Because they knew they were loved, they knew they were seen by their dad, and because of that, they knew they were safe. And we too have the same need. We need to know we're loved, we need to know we're seen, and we need to know we're safe. And maybe that's why God sends us his son, Jesus. More than just a symbol of love, but someone who makes us loved, seen, and safe in God's eyes. Because this is the Bible's promise. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, the angels, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. God's promise to us is this, that God will see us in Jesus. God sees us in Jesus. God loves us. And in Jesus, we're saved. And that's ultimately what we're looking for, aren't we? Instead of shame, what's the opposite of shame? The opposite of shame is face. Face. And that's the Bible's big promise to us, that the Lord will make his face shine upon you. That's the opposite of shame, sin, pain, hurt, and regret. To know we're seen by God, to enjoy his favor, and that his face shines upon us. And that will give us peace. A narrow little definition of peace is it's the absence of war, all right? There's no fighting. But a positive, more full vision of peace is this is where you flourish. This is where you're fulfilled. The Greeks had a word for this, eudaimonia. The Hebrews had a word for this, shalom, shalom. Just knowing that everything is where it should be. And suddenly the restlessness stops. Suddenly the searching stops because I am exactly where I should be. Loved by God, seen by God, and saved by God, enjoying his favor. So do you remember our original question? It was this. How can Jesus give me the peace I'm looking for? And today I've suggested three things. Number one, you know what? Without Jesus, there is no peace because we have no absolute objective marker point in our life. But with Jesus, Jesus gives us the peace that we're looking for. And because of that, number three, Jesus really is our peace. Now, because we were trying to raise three little boys, for a long time I was going to seminars run by Stephen Bidoff, who's a famous Australian author, child psychologist. And I remember Steve Bidoff said this one thing. He said, if you want a functional, peaceful relationship with your children, you need to get your own relationships in order. You need to get your relationships in order, especially with your own parents. You need a peaceful, functional relationship with your own parents before you can have a peaceful, functional relationship with your own kids. Otherwise, you bring all that baggage into the new relationship. And Steve Bidoff said this about raising boys, and this was addressed to fathers, but I'm sure it's the same with mothers, maybe. He said this, in a room full of 100 Australian men, there's no peace with the son and the dad. He said, in a room full of 100 Australian men, One third have not talked to their dad in decades. There's no peace. In a room full of 100 Australian men, one third do talk to their dads, but it always ends badly. Words are said, someone shouts something, someone storms out. There is no peace. In a room full of 100 Australian men, one third say, oh, I do have a relationship with my dad. We catch up once a week for dinner. And Steve Bidoff says, that's not a warm, functional relationship. That's duty. We must catch up every week for dinner. There's no peace there either. He said, in a room full of 100 Australian men, only one out of 100 can say, you know what? I have a peaceful, warm, functional relationship with my earthly father. And Steve Bidoff says, this has to stop. We have to restore relationships with our parents. And he says, right now, Australians are getting it. They're getting it. Finally, happening all over Australia is this. A guy will pick up a phone and ring home. And the phone will ring. He'll ring his parents. And the phone will ring. And then the dad will pick up. And the dad will say, hello? And the son will go, Dad, is that you? And the dad will say, son, do you want to talk to your mum? And then the son goes, no. I want to talk to you, Dad. We need to find peace. And that's what we all need. We too need to come to peace, not with just our earthly fathers, but with our heavenly Father. And that's how Jesus brings peace to us. If you think about it, without Jesus, there would be no peace. We can only recognize a crooked line if there's a straight line. Jesus is the straight line we need to find peace. And this world has no peace because right now inside all of us is no peace. The problem begins here, but Jesus comes to bring us the peace we're looking for. In Jesus, we know we're loved. In Jesus, we know we're seen by our Heavenly Father. And in Jesus, we know we're saved. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Christmas. Even though everything's busy this time of the year, even though this time of the year we're thinking, oh, so much we haven't done yet. But at least once a year, we can remember that 2,000 years ago, on a real day in history, you did enter history. You sent us your Son, Jesus, 100% God, but 100% human at the same time. And he grew up to do many amazing things, but the most amazing thing Jesus did was this, to die for us on a cross, to rise from the dead, to make peace with us. And we pray that whatever we're searching for right now, whatever makes us restless, whatever reason makes us tired, we will come to you. And in you, we find whatever we're searching for. And that ultimately, in Jesus, we know we're loved by you. In Jesus, we know we're seen by you. And in Jesus, we know we're safe because we are saved by you. In Jesus. And it's in his name now we pray. Amen.
Hello? Nothing yet. Great, thanks a lot. Thanks, Sam. That was a great message, a good, powerful reminder of where we can find peace. One of the dangers with most of us is that what often goes in one ear goes out the other very, very quickly. Though the